Time now for our Ask an Expert segment. Each weekday at this time on KCBS, we're giving you direct access to top experts in various fields related to the pandemic. Today, we'll zoom in a little bit on at-home testing, which is becoming more of a thing as we move forward. You may have heard of the news a few weeks ago, the FDA approving an at-home COVID-19 antibody test from the clinical laboratory Symbiotica, based in Vacaville. This one's a little different than most you've heard of. It doesn't involve a nasal swab. It involves a speck of blood. To answer your questions, I'm joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Susan Znaimer, CEO and Laboratory Director at Symbiotica. Good morning. Thanks for your time. And I wonder if you'd start by sort of walking us through the company and your role in it. I mean, there's so many bits of research and innovation going on around the pandemic that none of us have ever heard of before.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So Symbiotica started out we're a fairly new company, and we actually started before COVID, and our hope and goal was to offer at-home testing for population-based tests that a lot of people may be subject to, like allergies, autoimmune disorders, and other infectious diseases. And so we started this to allow patients to take control of their health and not have to go to the physician. There's plenty of online telehealth companies that people can just call for a doctor, tell them their situation and what they're concerned about with their health. And if they require a test, a laboratory test, then the physician can order that test online. And then we would then send a kit for that test to the patient's home. And the patient can take a drop of blood, put it on our dry blood spot card, send that back to us in the laboratory, and Symbiotica will perform that test and give a result back to the telehealth medicine company. That allows people not to have to go out of their house during COVID or any other time to go to their doctor, and it doesn't require people to go to a laboratory and go to a phlebotomist and have a blood draw, which can be very painful and sometimes doesn't work.
Well, and I'm curious about this because, you know, that has been, you know, since time immemorial, the process, the way you described it. You go to the lab, they stick a needle in your arm, they pull some blood. I've always wondered how much of that blood they really needed. So you've been in this game for a while. How much do they need?
Not much. Let me tell you, in our kit, we have a little, what's called a lancet, and it's just a prick in your finger. And that will draw a bubble of blood, and that blood just goes, it's a drop of blood. And you can take, let's say, 2 to 3 drops, and it allows you to do a few tests. If you have a lot of allergies you want tested, we would want 5 drops. 5 drops is not a lot of blood. You don't need 5 to 10 milliliters that you would put in a venipuncture into a tube. Not often required.
So this is kind of like what you did back in high school biology, where you were doing your blood type. I mean, it's the same kind of thing, right? That little steel lancet?
Absolutely. Things have changed quite a bit in the years, but the traditional form of medicine hasn't changed in a lot of ways as it comes to patient care with regard to laboratory tests. So, sure, there's MRIs and CT scans, these great machines to do all this stuff for diagnosis, but even the simple stuff hasn't changed. And that's what we want everybody to have opportunities, especially COVID. Our idea a year ago when we submitted our application to the FDA for approval to do a serology test, which tests your antibodies for COVID. We wanted to do that a year ago. It took them that long to approve it. We're the first lab ever to be approved for a home sampling COVID test for serology or antibody testing. And the point here is, you know, COVID testing for diagnosis when you do a nasal swab is just a moment in time. You could go to the supermarket afterwards or a bar, and you could be exposed, and the next day you could be positive. But antibody testing is a much more permanent test that tells you if you're immune to the disease. That's very important now for people who've been exposed to COVID who haven't yet had their vaccine, and also for people who have been vaccinated, to know if they have antibodies after the vaccine, to know that they're safe going in public, going back to work, going back to school to know that they're not going to have COVID, or at least the severe disease of COVID, because they have antibodies for it that will fight the disease. But what we don't know is how long those antibodies will last. So in the end, let's say come fall when it's flu season, we need to know if we're still have antibodies that will protect us for COVID when flu season starts. And that's an important test to have. Everybody can have this test. Everybody is open and allowed to have this test. You don't even need to go to your doctor. You can do this all online.
So let me ask you, let's walk through the sequence of a test. I get the kit, I get the blood prick, goes on the card, it comes back. What does your lab find? In other words, is this just a go, no-go to say you have antibodies or you don't? Does it say how many antibodies, how old they are? You know, how long have I been carrying these around? Can all of those things be learned from this?
No, right now this is a test. It's a qualitative test, but it is a CLIA federally regulated test. This is not direct to consumer. This is a highly regulated test in which we've had to prove how sensitive and specific it is, highly accurate, but it's qualitative in that what we'll tell you is how many IgG antibodies. That's a very specific molecule that tells you whether you're immune for this type of antibody that's specific for COVID. So the result is a qualitative, yes, you have antibodies, no, you don't. And that's as much as can be told right now with the information we have for this kind of test. It's also good for people who are vaccinated as well as those who are afraid to get vaccinated. It could be that you've been exposed to COVID, but you're asymptomatic. About half the population is thought to have been asymptomatic if they and having COVID, and they just don't know that they had it. But the way to tell if you did is to do this antibody test. Know if you're immune or not. And if you're not, then you're susceptible of getting the disease.
Let me ask you to do us a big favor, because, you know, people joining the conversation late in the pandemic may have forgotten or never learned what the term sensitivity and specificity mean when we're talking about tests. Can you remind
right.
us?
Sure. So when we do a test, we want to make it as accurate as possible. And we test a lot of patients that are known to be either normal or known to have had the disease. So when we look at sensitivity, we're looking for false negatives. If we're looking for specificity, we're looking for false positives. That means, is the patient really getting the result that's right for them? So those are just technical terms in a laboratory, but really it's just to measure the accuracy of this test. And that's something that you have to do in a CLIA test that's governed by the federal government and has high regulations versus that of a direct-to-consumer test, which is not highly regulated. So you can't actually accept whether, you know, there's no real rules for how good those types of tests are.
All right.
So I just want the public to know this is highly regulated by the FDA and the government.
So you're still dealing with a lab test. It's just that the lab is somewhere else from where the sample is being taken, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, the lab always receives samples from somewhere, from the patient. Usually if the patient goes to a phlebotomist, a laboratory, and gets their blood drawn in a tube, that's sent to the lab. This way, the patient draws their own sample whenever they want, wherever they want. And then we have a self-addressed envelope, and they go ahead and just send that kit to our laboratory with no cost, and we perform the test.
Got it. All right, let's get to questions then. Reminding our audience, if you have questions, fire them off via email to askus@kcbsradio.com. Our guest today is Susan Znaimer. She's the CEO and laboratory director at Symbiotica. Let's get to this one first, and this is going to come, I believe, from somebody who's probably pretty well versed on this stuff. Is this a neutralizing quantitative antibody test?
It isn't a neutralizing antibody test. This IgG just gives you whether or not you have enough antibodies in your system that can be detected by our test. That gives you an accurate version of whether you have protective antibodies to protect you from that disease, in this case, COVID-19.
Okay, this next one, I think we'll probably get a lot of people with this sort of query. I got two shots of the Pfizer vaccine, did not experience any adverse effects at all after either shot. I wonder if I'm actually vaccinated. Could a test like this help?
Absolutely, this could help. You shouldn't worry that you had no adverse effects. That's a good thing for you. It doesn't mean that you haven't been vaccinated. It just means that you're not adverse to getting vaccines at all. And remember, this is a recombinant vaccine. This is not a live virus coming into you. That's a good thing. That means that there's no chance of you getting COVID from the vaccine. But if you have this antibody test, you'll know within about 3 weeks. You need to wait about 3 weeks for the antibodies to build up after the vaccine. So you're exposed to this virus in a non-threatening way. But it takes a while for antibodies to be made in your system. So 3 weeks from now would be a good time to test if you have the presence of antibodies. That would be great.
Okay. Next one. How accurate are these tests? How can they be so accurate with so little blood?
So that's a good question. The test is very accurate. We had 100% sensitivity and over 98% specificity, which means that there's very little room for error in this test. It's not 100% complete every time, but nonetheless, that's true for any test. But this is a highly accurate test. The second part of the question was...
Just curious about with so little blood. I think this is the part that everybody's having trouble wrapping their head around.
Right. So the idea here is that you don't need a lot of blood for a single test of this technology. So this is a specific technology. It's called ELISA technology. It does not require a lot of blood. Certain other tests may require, with a different technology, might require more blood, but not this one. But in this case, we do ELISA for the same technology for allergies. But we need more blood for that because there are many allergies and they're all singly done. In that case, we want like 5 drops of blood. But for COVID, 1 to 2 drops is enough. And the blood card has to be filled out correctly. But we give instructions for that.
I'm curious, what does it look like at your end, at the lab end? So you've got a little piece of paper or cardboard with this blood spot on it. What happens next?
Yeah, so that's exactly what happens. We get these little drops of blood. We have a paper cutter that will cut the dried blood spot out, and we put it in a machine. And the machine will do its thing, runs through a bunch of chemicals that pops out a result based on what's present inside the blood. So the blood is best when it's dry because it stays stable that way for enough time for us to run that test.
And you do some DNA type stuff too, right? One of your other products?
We do. We actually have tests that are COVID. We actually have a diagnostic COVID test, and that's by PCR. It's a molecular test. We also do next generation sequencing for other tests, which is a new technology, and it looks at your total genome, looks at all the DNA in your system, and we can detect mutations depending on what the disease is by next generation sequencing. The PCR tests are fast tests that we can look at also mutations for different diseases, whether it be genetic or population-based tests. So we are a full sample laboratory providing different tests of all kinds. And we also consult with laboratories to help them. We feel that it's important with COVID for all different companies to be able to bring up a test if that's what they want to do. So we help provide guidance for other laboratories for these kinds of tests.
You know, sequencing COVID is becoming a big conversation, obviously, as we worry about variants. Is that feasible through a system like this?
It is. Well, with dried blood spots, in this case, no, because you have to sample wherever the the disease is.
Mm-hmm.
So with antibodies, it's in your circulation. But for, let's say, the diagnostic test, it's in your nose, in your nasal swab, because that's where the virus sits. So that's why you need to take a nasal swab for that test. That can be done by sequencing. That can be done with other technologies like PCR. And that's how come you can get a quick test, because you're looking at these variants. A mutation is like a variant in your DNA. It's a change that takes place from normal to be something that's abnormal.
Next question. In testing of this antibody test, did you encounter any folks who had been vaccinated but did not show a sufficient number of antibodies to COVID-19? If so, what was the percentage?
We have not yet. What we have found, though, is if you don't wait long enough for the antibodies to grow, it might become negative. So there, the one thing the FDA did say is we have to test for antibodies 3 weeks or later after the time you were vaccinated. And if you don't have antibodies, then the vaccine didn't work for you.
Okay. And again, this is all emerging, so we'll be learning more about this, I would guess, in the weeks and months ahead. Next question. Would a strong positive result on this test mean a person could be sure of having had COVID-19 in the past, and would that mean the person should not need to be vaccinated?
That's a good question, because the one thing we don't know with antibodies is what's the difference in a result between someone who had COVID and someone who just was vaccinated. The results will look the same on our test. So we really don't know that answer. That's a really good question. But if you have antibodies, you have antibodies, whether it be from COVID or whether it be from a vaccine. So the answer is, from that perspective, having a vaccine may not matter. However, what we don't know is how long your antibodies last after you've had COVID versus having antibodies and how long they last after a vaccine. So I would suggest that if you have the antibody test after you've been exposed to COVID or had COVID, great, but retest every, let's say, 2-3 months to make sure those antibodies are still there.
Okay.
And if not, then get a vaccine.
Next question is kind of a statement, looking for your response. In order to open up the country and travel, any testing at home seems like it should be provided free of charge, as is being considered in the UK and in Europe. Are there any plans for this to be covered by insurance or other subsidization, for example, by the government?
Good question. I think because we were the first lab, and right now still we think we're the only lab that's being able to offer this test for home sampling, we don't know that the government has come up with a plan yet for how to offer this free of charge or as a population-based test. I mean, we tried a year ago to get the government to start thinking. We're just a small little lab, so we didn't have the voice that a big lab might have. But we really feel that this is the population-based test that the government should support. And we're waiting to see what will happen. There probably will be insurance available to cover this, but we have not seen that yet.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up with this one. Somebody wants some nuts and bolts. Thanks for your information. Please describe the process to obtain this test, the website URL, the MD request required online, and or your doctor, time to process, cost. And by the way, we'll make sure, dear listeners, that all of this information is included in the story that we post at kcbsradio.com/askanexpert. And so, Susan, I'll ask you to stay on the line a little bit afterwards to make sure we have all the details right. But in general, what would somebody wanting to do one of these tests do?
Okay, so that's easy. You can go to our website, which is symbioticainc.com, symbioticainc.com, and it will take you directly to a link, and that link will let you order the test. We do charge for the test. And unfortunately, you know, we don't know if anyone will subsidize that cost. But right now you can go to that link, order the test Right now, it's $129. We're hoping that can come down with time. We're planning on it. But at the moment, this is kind of new, and that's our cost. And then once that order is placed, it triggers us to send you a kit. Once you get the kit, put your drop the blood on, put it back in the envelope, no cost to you, send it back to us, and we'll get you a result within 1 to 2 days through our telemedicine company who has consultation available to you at the time of resulting for you to understand what the results are.
So, yeah, there does need to be an MD involved here because of that part. Is that correct?
Exactly. If it's a CLIA test, it does need to be doctor-ordered, prescription-ordered.
Got it. Well, thanks so much. Fascinating stuff. We wish you luck, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk about it with us this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Good luck to everybody in your health.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. Susan Znaimer is the CEO and Laboratory Director at Symbiotica. They're based in Vacaville. And again, there's a lot of detailed information that she just gave. We'll make sure that when we post our story this afternoon at kcbsradio.com/askanexpert, that information will be there for you.